بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم everyone.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to another amazing episode.
إن شاء الله
of the MSA podcast.
It's gonna be Hiba's redemption arc from last.
Yeah, I need it. Guys, please.
She's been stressing about this the whole time since that episode was recorded.
Literally the episode, I've been thinking about how I gave the worst book recommendation possible. But today is my redemption arc. So I have two books that I've read since. One is The Lost Islamic History. As the name suggests, it's about the lost Islamic history. And it's really good. It goes into enough detail, but not too much detail that it'll confuse you or you'll forget. And then two is The Emperor of All Maladies. It's a biography on cancer, so if you're interested in learning about cancer but like through an anecdotal perspective, then not the actual author is a doctor, like he's not going through it himself, but he says it, like he gives a lot of context behind it, etc. It's very interesting, very well written as well. What about you, Iman? What have you been up to?
Honestly, I haven't been reading too much. I've been very into podcasts lately.
She's
saying it's like she's surprised because she hears about this so much.
No, we're like filming a podcast and everything.
Almost of the Man's The First. That's what I've currently been working my way through.
Mm-hmm. That one's amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to like connect a bit better with the Sira.
Yeah.
And the way he speaks and things he says always manage to touch your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been my commute, entertainment.
Yeah. I actually did start watching/listening to that in the holidays. But it's so insightful because it gives you names that you wouldn't really see as much, but they're such like monumental figures.
And even the names that you do know, it's like different sides to those stories.
Yeah, 100%. Also, we decided to go for a theme today.
Oh, yes. Guess what it is?
Guess what? You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So today we're strawberry matcha. I'm the strawberry bit. Iman's the matcha bit, clearly. And actually, on that note, I do have a recommendation for good strawberry matcha. I'm not really a fan of strawberry matcha, but in Reevesby, I went with my good friend Hara, and we got one strawberry matcha, one mango matcha. It's called Yield Cafe. And they were both really good, so if you guys are around there, you should try.
Sounds good. I feel like strawberry matcha is only ever good when you do it with strawberry milk and not strawberry jam.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah?
They have a strawberry jam, like, bit at the bottom and a strawberry foam bit at the top. Ooh, if you don't put your straw in the jam, it's gone. Otherwise, you're literally just eating jam.
Let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce everyone to our topic for today?
Of course. So, inshallah, today what we'll be looking through is the topic of nasiha, and in general what that means is advice giving, but not just advice giving in general, but the importance of building a community, how nasiha kind of relates to that building community, and how a lack of community nowadays has torn us apart and ruined that ability to give nasiha to each other.
Yeah, so how this came about was we were actually discussing social media, which is not the topic of this podcast.
Yeah,
I want to just like make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we're discussing today, I don't think are necessarily applicable to social media conduct in general.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily because nasiha, when it's given, should be given in private.
Mm-hmm.
But we are talking about in your daily lives, in your communities, and the importance of something that is very quickly and very easily you're able to flip emotions based on what you think you're hearing and what you think you're saying.
Yeah, like overall that perspective around nasiha, and by no means do we want to seem like know-it-alls and like we're telling you how to live your life or whatnot, but it's just we're just speaking from an observation that we primarily see
and
in social media.
Everything that we're talking about applies first and foremost to ourselves. And we're kind of just sharing this discussion in hopes that you can gain something from it as well.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, a lot of you may have kind of noticed it yourself. So open discussion between us and between you guys as well. But yeah, when you mention social media, what do you mean?
Oh, I was thinking like Haram police. I feel like
define haram police.
Kind of I see this a lot with women though, like just bashing women in social media comments,
mm-hmm.
For your analysis or your understanding of what they're posting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, in some cases, misunderstanding what they are posting and why they are posting it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed. And it can go both ways. If we kind of like look at the head-on police, sometimes they kind of just have the massive, like a massive dig at the person in question, mm-hmm. unaware of what they're going through in their personal lives. But also when you are given advice in a humble manner, then you often see like not the best reaction. And it's like all taking place on social media, and it's like...
It's a very natural reaction. Yeah. And I feel like we sometimes misunderstand what social media is, and we think that it's a lot more real and we are a lot more connected to it than we really should be,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that people are sitting behind a screen criticizing you or giving you nasiha. Whatever way you perceive that, your instinctive reaction is not the same one that you would give to someone who's sitting in front of you saying those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would be more comfortable with being a bit more visceral with the way you treat them. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the right way to go about it. But like, again, very natural feeling. Someone criticizes you, it's very easy to be like, oh, okay.
It almost seems uncalled for because you never really go into social media asking for comments.
Even in your daily life, right? Yeah. Like, if this is coming from like a complete stranger, it's hard to hear that,
mm-hmm.
and be like, oh, okay, this might be something I need to work on.
Yeah. But do you think there's like a general outlook towards like advice, quote unquote advice? Like,
I think there's like cultural like layers to it as well. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times what people frame as advice is purely in their own self-interest.
Yeah.
And that can be a tricky line to navigate because you don't want to come off as a know-it-all. You don't want to come off as being...
seeming better than the other person.
Yeah. You don't want to come off as arrogant, but also some of that advice genuinely may not be applicable to you.
Mm-hmm. And I guess a lot of giving and taking advice, like first of all, giving advice, if you feel like you're not in the position to give advice, you might stray away from giving someone advice, mm-hmm. even though you can clearly see it might help them, especially in like in terms of Islam,
yeah,
slash when you're being given advice. I feel like there's generally not everyone takes it the best way, mm-hmm. and that can come down to how bonds in contemporary society are like made.
And also depending on the type of relationships you have with the people around you,
mm-hmm.
it can really impact what that relationship is able to withstand,
mm-hmm.
based on how much you trust one another,
yeah.
in terms of receiving advice and giving it. I know, yeah. Earlier this year, one of my friends was doing a leadership workshop thing at work,
mm-hmm.
and she sent me like this whole questionnaire to fill out that had some pretty intense questions on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've known this person for like a very, very long time. I love her to bits. But that was a really difficult thing for me to write up and send to her because like, and she actually called me and she was like, hey, you haven't done this yet. Can you please do it? What are you afraid of? And it wasn't necessarily that I was afraid of her taking things the wrong way, but I didn't want to say anything to her that would cause harm or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that I had to say to answer those questions were things that might seem a bit too real and overly perceptive. And when you're going about in daily lives, you don't really tend to sit down and have conversations like that.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up fine. It ended up pretty good. And we like chatted through the stuff after,
mm-hmm.
and she really like appreciated what I had to say. But I think that initial hesitation I had when she sent that to me and I was reading those questions was something that I wasn't expecting. Mm. It was really scary.
Yeah. I guess if I want to touch on my own experience, I don't have a specific experience, but I feel like in the past, I would always try putting a front,
mm-hmm.
so that people can't really like point at faults in a sense. So I was like really, really not receptive to feedback, because mm-hmm. I thought it was like kind of a way to look down on someone. But it's like, you can't really grow as a person and as a community if you're not open to feedback, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And especially in a world where us as Muslims, we're like, we literally only have each other,
mm-hmm.
and we're a minority in itself, so we should always be working towards pushing each other up, kind of like putting back that, for me, I would say it was my ego getting mm-hmm. in the way. So I like putting away that ego and like listening to what the other person has to say, because if given from the right intentions, then you're, that advice is always going to help you grow,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what you want to see in a society where like you're look through a microscope, basically.
Yeah. And kind of just following up that in two lines of thought, mm-hmm. so I'll go down the first one first.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only like your own self-defense, but I think for me, one of the things that really helped with that was, sure, it was my own sort of insecurities walling that up,
mm-hmm.
but what I was projecting onto the other person,
yeah.
I was doubting their intentions.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that is also like Islamically
incredibly
awful.
Incorrect. Because we're always told to assume the best of your brothers.
You assume the best. And it takes a lot of time. Like, I don't think I've gotten it yet.
For sure.
I think whenever I get feedback, I always have to stop and be like, this is not a personal attack.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to put yourself out there and be open to receiving that.
Yeah.
And be open to correcting that waswasa almost.
Yeah,
you get where it's like, oh, like they just don't like you, or like
mm-hmm.
they just have it out for you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the second train of thought was kind of following off from our last podcast episode,
yeah.
where we as a society have grown so much more isolated and individualistic. And we've sort of, we don't really hold that sense of community as such anymore.
Yeah.
Or give it high regard in our lives.
Because mm-hmm. If you turn to social media, what is like the one thing they preach? It's like, you do you, or like you live your life on your own means. If you're uncomfortable with something, don't do it. Whatever, like, it basically preaches for you to like just live and be complacent in who you are and just like kind of strive down that one line.
Yeah.
But it's like Islam has always, always, always preached for like community, living together. I'm pretty sure Sister Ramya mentioned this last week, but she was saying how Islam prioritizes community so much to the point where if your neighbor is sleeping hungry, you have responsibility to feed mm-hmm. him. So a neighbor that you might not even know. And if we like link that to community building once again and like giving advice, like how can you build a community if you're not open to advice per se?
And it's also like a lot of times your hesitation comes from you not knowing what to say,
mm-hmm.
or you not being able to articulate what you might feel in a way that isn't harmful. And
I think for me it was more so like I would be trying my best to do something,
mm-hmm.
and if someone still had like a piece of feedback, I'd be thinking like, oh, I tried my best, how can they be critiquing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like your best is not necessarily like, it's good that you put in your best, but it doesn't mean that it's what's required in the moment, or like it's the best that they expected, etc. So whatever it is, like, you need to be open to accepting that. And I think that was like the hardest bit for me.
Was there any steps you took that like you
help
intentionally
me?
Took to sort of
get past that?
And get past that?
Well, yes. Not to say I'm perfect now, definitely not. But something that has helped me is obviously realizing like I'm not perfect, and in Islam we're always told to like, it's okay to be faulty as long as you turn back, you repent, and then fix it from there, right? Like, don't repeat the same mistake. So I think that everyone is like inherently going to make a mistake, but at the end of the day, if you're not able to accept that, then that's like an ego issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like trying to dismantle the ego in the past few years, especially like I've been trying to get closer to Islam and like better my deen and whatnot. So I think like once you can put that ego aside and like understand that like it's not you, like you're not the only person in the world making mistakes, like the person next to you, your boss makes mistakes, etc. Like you're gonna have to receive feedback and you're gonna have to implement that. So I guess like once I accept it, it's just part of the journey to do better, and you can't do better without it. Like if I truly want to do better, I need to be able to accept it.
And SubhanAllah, that's such a beautiful callback to our intro episode, where you talked about this being something that you were working on.
And you remember?
Yeah, of course I remember. Do you think I just see it?
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, like, perfectionism is not...
It's
not ideal.
And at the end of the day, it only hinders you.
Yeah, for sure.
Bit of a limiting factor.
Yeah, and I think another thing that helped me is that I explicitly have told my friends, like, if I'm doing something wrong, like, tell it to my face straight, because mm-hmm. I'd rather not hear about it in like a much later context where I could have made change in the moment, but I didn't. But also I want to get better at being able to receive feedback, so it's like exposure therapy, you know.
Yeah,
so
exposure therapy is such a...
it's so good.
It's so like, it's so hard. It's really
so hard, but if you're like in the mindset, it works,
and you'll find it so rewarding, in the sense that things that you might have never thought to ask for or step forward to do,
mm-hmm.
The moment you posit it to someone and they are willing to hear you out and they're willing to see where it goes,
yeah,
you end up learning so much and being so much better off from it.
Mm-hmm.
SubhanAllah, it's genuinely amazing. It's actually something we were talking about in the halqa yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
About taking that first step towards mm-hmm. Allah and doing so with the right intentions.
Yeah. Shout out to the halaqas. They're amazing. Everyone should come to them.
The verse we were talking about in particular was from Surah Alaq, Iqra wa Rabbuka al-Akram. Which we kind of segued into a bunch of other things before mm-hmm. we ended up on this topic. But I just thought that'd be nice to share.
No, yeah. Very nice.
The other thing I feel like we tend to lack is a sense of personal responsibility for mm-hmm. the people around you. Because, mm-hmm. Like, obviously in your family, you have a sense of responsibility to advise people. But that doesn't extend to just your family. It actually extends out towards... all Muslims.
Yeah, remember, community, like, where you can kind of think of all Muslims as a family in mm-hmm. a secular society, because yeah, like, people that aren't necessarily Muslims, like, we know that some of them tend to look down on Muslims, mm-hmm. tend to like racially profile, etc. So in a place where you're going to be separated from society anyways, you should tend to hold on to the bonds that you've been given by God himself, and which is like through being Muslim, right?
And like, I think this is going to be a recurring theme. You will find yourself being uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
That discomfort is not a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good enough excuse to be a deterrent. If anything, it's something for you to ponder on, to think about, and then push past it.
When you say being uncomfortable, what do you mean? Like, in what context?
In both giving nasiha, because yeah. obviously you're in a place where you could say something to someone that... or you are in a place where you're saying something to someone that you're held accountable for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also in return, when you're the one receiving it, because, like, we've talked about how it's a hard thing to receive
mm-hmm.
and it's a hard thing to hear, but then you once this message reaches you, you are no longer ignorant of the issue. So it is then your responsibility to go forth and implement whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's the whole concept of being willfully ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
The word I'm thinking of in Surah Al-Fatiha, Ad-Dallin,
mm-hmm.
right? It's English translations are commonly put down as just ignorant. But the type of ignorance that is the truth has come to you,
mm-hmm.
you know what it is,
mm-hmm.
and you are still denying it.
Mm-hmm. And in this context, they were like specifically referring to the Jews, right? In Surah Fatiha. The Jews were like the ones that were willfully ignorant, and then the Christians.
I think it was
were.
The Christians as well, yeah.
I think the Christians were the ones who changed, like, and then they... whatever.
Don't
quote us on that. Don't quote us on that, but that's what I was thinking. Because I think it's not really... it's something that you think about doing once you've thought about nasiha in general. But, like, mm-hmm. when we tend to not give nasiha, it's because we, like, out of our friendship. Like, we don't want to hurt the other person. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to feel like we're scrutinizing them or, like, looking down on them. But in Islam, like, we know in Surah Asr, it tells us, like, we should guide our friends, or like, we should give advice, etc. Like, we need to look out for our brothers, because we have brothers and sisters, but we have like responsibility. We have responsibility in correcting if we can see something that's like explicitly haram or like it's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
We would kind of be held accountable for letting things like that slide.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Surat Al-Asr, and I feel like this is a good time to talk a bit more about it, because mm-hmm. we recite the surah a lot.
Yeah.
In every gathering, at the end of every gathering, I'm pretty sure it's said that like the companions of the Prophet would never depart from one another without reciting that
mm-hmm.
surah.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought we'd just talk a bit about what is said in that surah,
yeah, of course,
and a couple of the important points that we thought we'd like to share with you.
Yeah.
Would you like to recite the surah first?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amilu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr.
Wal asr, it's by time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by time. If you could pull it up anyway,
I would
appreciate having it on hand.
Of course.
Innal insana lafi khusr. The English translation is verily man is in loss. In this case, the khusr is a very all-encompassing type of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then last ayah, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So there are four things that are being mentioned in this. So it's accept those who have faith, who do good, who urge each other to the truth, and urge each other to perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
So those four qualities, faith, righteous deeds, advising each other on haqq, and advising each other for sabr, is a very good summary of pretty much the entire Quran. So that surah, it is a callback to everything that the Quran is preaching. And everything that you should be taking into account. The word that's used in this verse is amal, and in Arabic there's two words for doing, right? There's fa'il, which is also used in grammar to describe verbs, and then there's amal. The first one,
fa'il,
kind of means to just do something, to do it pretty surface level, and you know, it's just a routine action. But amal means to intentionally do something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying intentionally, you know, be of the people who believe
mm-hmm.
and who do good deeds and who are urging each other to haqq
mm-hmm.
and who are urging each other to be patient. And the last two, so obviously the first two are internal, right? They are about you and your belief and your deeds. But the next two, those are your responsibilities to the people who are around you and to the Muslims that are around you, right? To urge them to do good
mm-hmm.
and forbid evil, and to urge them to be patient. And at the core of it, you know, that's what all of our relationships should be coming down to. You want the people in your lives to be on the same path as you, both in this world and the next.
I think, I forgot who said it, but Surah Asr is like the one surah that can encompass like all of humanity and can be a piece of guidance for all of humanity. And it basically emphasizes like you internally can be the best person in terms of your deeds, in terms of your faith, but if you're not like actively helping the people around you to do better as well, then it's not futile, but it's like half of the surah is advising for that, right?
Yeah, and so it's often such a cop-out to be like, well,
I'm
doesn't
doing
affect
good enough.
Me.
Yeah.
But it does affect you.
It does affect you.
You.
And that's kind of the contemporary society lens where if it doesn't affect you, you don't have to worry about it. But Islam, if it constantly preaches, like it says, if it's affecting your brothers and sisters, like it's going to affect you one day. Like you have responsibility. And I think, as in general, obviously me and Iman included, but we need to be striving towards helping each other in that way. Like it's a form of assistance and a form of like it's also a way to get hasanat. Like if you're helping
absolutely.
Your friend, you're helping yourself as well to better. And I think that's something that scared me, honestly. There was a hadith that came on. I have this app for hadith that like mm-hmm. flicks a new hadith every single day. But there was something about like if you comply in a bad act, then you're basically a part of the, or like you're partnering crime in the act. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're actually doing the bad deed, but if you're observing it, you're just like, as. And in Surah Yusuf as well,
yeah, it says it's like the whole idea that like bystanding is
as bad as a bullying. Yeah, but in like Surah Yusuf, we know that the brother who like was like, we don't have to kill him, we'll just throw him in a well, even though he was like giving a better of two options.
Small consolation.
It's still like, it's still like, if you're letting something bad go by,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to be the worst thing in the world, but if it's still like not Islamically the best, then you're still going to be held accountable for that.
And also the word asr is not just time, it is a time that is very, very quickly slipping by.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is something that we should all remember, that the time that we have in this world and the time that we have to prove ourselves is mm-hmm. very, very limited.
Very limited, yeah.
Coming back to the idea of community, I'm going to speak about this a little bit from a cultural lens and feel free to chip in. But often we're also advised against doing the right thing. I say when I started wearing the hijab,
it's not people the best had a lot direction. To say.
Did you have?
I started wearing the hijab really late, so I didn't really face the same thing. But there's a lot of complacency around, especially for the people that I know, like music. And if I was to step out of my way to say like, oh, we should not be listening to music, or like,
mm-hmm.
We should probably just turn that off, it's either met with like, no, you should like research properly, like it's not all music, or it's like, it just feels a bit awkward. And mm-hmm. that's, I keep saying this, but it really scared me to not step in and say the right thing.
Because
I'm like thinking like, do I care more about them kind of hating on me, or do I care more about Allah? So I remembered like, okay, no, like I should literally just say it, doesn't matter if they hate me or not. But it's still awkward, like, you know.
Absolutely. I think also in some circles that I've been in, if you are in a gathering and you're like, oh, it's time to pray, we should get up and pray, people will treat you like you're committing a sin.
And I don't want to say it like this, but it's a lot of the times my non-Muslim friends are more than happy for me to, like, I have a friend who like literally tells me like, oh, do you need to pray now? And I'm like, you know what, thank you. But then it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I had non-Muslim friends in high school who would quite literally, when they saw me at lunch, they'd be like, have you prayed yet? Do you need someone to come with you?
That is so sweet.
And just like, because we didn't have prayer rooms. They're like, do you need someone to come with you and just stand at the door and like warn teachers away?
Yeah.
And like,
I had a friend who, like, I literally didn't know where to pray. We were out in the city and I just went to like a patch of grass and I was like, I'm just gonna quickly go pray. And then she just stood like, God. Action. Basically, we were saying how if you're in an Islamic setting or like you're with a group of Muslims, then that's like your prime time to do the right thing. So like take shove your foot, even if it's uncomfortable, and do like give nasiha, like give do the uncomfortable thing.
And at the end of the day, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like keep us in good company and keep us around people who are constantly pushing us to do better and willing to maybe make things even a little bit uncomfortable to push us towards the right thing.
Pray that they make it uncomfortable so that we can go towards the right thing.
Because it's to your benefit.
And I guess that comes, like, we've been talking a lot about giving advice, but also receiving advice. If it makes you uncomfortable, sit with that. Don't, like, retaliate or, like, feel like, oh, why are they hating on me and whatnot.
Yeah, also because a lot of the times the nasiha won't come packaged nicely.
Yeah, definitely not.
Right?
You're lucky if it does, but
you
not
You are so lucky if whoever is giving you nasiha is giving it to you in a way that is easily digestible for you.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times it won't be, and you can't expect that of
people. Obviously, between friends, we'd obviously try to package it nicely and get the point through.
Like, you expect kindness.
Yeah,
right?
Kindness, compassion.
But kindness does not mean that it is going to be easily digestible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously this extends to not just friendships, but like in the wider world as well. You'll always be given like feedback.
A lot of times from your parents.
Yeah, from your
parents. They'll say things that you don't necessarily think apply to you, but they are still your parents.
Yeah.
And the advice that they are giving you is to your benefit.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the times I tell my brother a few things here and there, but yeah. I feel comfortable because it's my brother. Like, yeah. I know that at the end of the day, like, he'll just accept it and listen. But you kind of need to start treating, like, your friends and, like, distant people the same, that you should give, obviously, out of the right intention and out of the best for that person.
And it's also, like, a perception flip in your head. They're doing it out of respect for you.
Yeah, yeah.
If they didn't care about you,
they would not be
they would let you go on your way.
And that's actually a really, really good point. Like, I want to emphasize that, like, if you really care about your brothers and sisters in Islam, you'd go out of your way to give advice to them so they can be better in their path, right? So in the opposite side, like, you should think the same about them. Like, they're doing this for your benefit. Like, they want to help you. And it's almost like you should be grateful that you have friends. Like, I'm so, so grateful that I have friends that can help me and, like, we can work together. But in the same vein, like, I want to try being that friend for other people.
And then also, when you're receiving it, and again, this is probably difficult, but you want to continue to facilitate and make it easier for people to give you that advice.
Yeah.
I recently had an experience with my little brother. He's like 17, and he wanted to tell me about something, and he comes to me and he's like, Baji, like, I don't know if it's my place to say this, but I wanted to talk to you about something. And then, like, the conversation, like, took its course. But I made it very clear to him, I did my best to make it very clear to him, that this sort of advice is something I'm always open to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I appreciate that he went up to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, like, are you sure you should be doing this?
Yeah, I did have this conversation with my brother as well, but I made it like more so from my end, telling him that he should like start to be open to receiving advice.
Yeah.
Because my brother's like, how do I say this? Like, he's not really like the attacky type, so he wouldn't really go out of his way to like tell someone they're doing something wrong. But I'm saying if someone does come to him with it, he should be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah, it makes it a lot easier to understand that when someone does come to you with advice, it's not like
it's out of respect for you.
And yeah, once again, about being able to create that relationship with others where they feel safe coming to you with these things.
Yeah.
And you feel safe going to them with these things.
And because also I feel like in a lot of our like mindsets in our world, there's a lot of like support people in what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But support people to be on the right path.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just going to say this very generally, but there's a lot of things that are normalized within the Muslim community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I do blame social media for that, but it's our role as like servants of Allah to be able to step out of that and understand what is right and wrong. Obviously, that comes through like seeking your correct knowledge. And whatnot, but I think like in the first step, including myself first and foremost, that we need to be able to objectively see what's right and wrong and then give advice based on that.
And this was like really commonplace in prophetic communities.
Yeah.
And we have narrations that like obviously people didn't always take it well,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that they didn't think about it and then work towards rebuilding those relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If we just want to think of like a very common example of how giving advice would, like how you would change the advice that you give based on who you're talking to, for example, because you obviously, if it's someone that you're not that close to, you're not gonna like attack them straight away, right? You're gonna have to give it in a way that would be, like Iman was saying before, like you wanna give it in a way that's digestible to others so that you can create that safe environment for them so that they can continue to accept advice and also give you advice back.
Sandwich method it.
Yeah. Make a good yummy sandwich. Guys, there's really good sandwiches in Granville, Sharuk's kitchen. Anyways, besides the point, I was going to bring the example of the Bedouin man and then the Sahaba of the Prophet, where the Bedouin man was in a mosque and then I think he was like peeing on the wall or something. Like, he was creating, like, he was doing something quite outrageous. And any normal person would, like, become very angry if they saw someone literally urinating in the mosque, right? But the Prophet, like, addressed the situation very calmly, like, quite different to what we would expect someone to do. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't meet him with any aggression. And then the reason why he did that was because this person was obviously not a Muslim. If he was to go and face him with anger, he will get further, like, turned away from Islam, etc. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Sahaba, I'm just going to double check if I'm saying this right, but I think he was, like, leading a prayer. Like, it was too long.
Really long.
It was really long, and that caused one of the, like, the people praying with them to leave. I think he, like, recited Surah Baqarah and Surah Nisa, which is, like, wow. Very,
also,
very
SubhanAllah, may Allah give us, like, that kind of strength and conviction to be able to have that much khushu in our salah that we are able to focus for that long and recite something that long.
Yeah, so then because in that situation the prayer was quite long, for whatever reason, like, a man left the prayer, and the Prophet criticized the companion that was leading the prayer, being like, oh, Mu'ad, are you putting the people to trial? It would have been better if you recited, because the weak and the needy are praying behind you and they can't stand for that long. So this one, compared to how he advised the Bedouin man, it was in more stern manner,
mm-hmm.
more like discipline. But why? It's because he knew who the companion was. Like, mm-hmm. he knew the character of him, and he knew that if he was to give advice in this manner, it would be received well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when your mom disciplines you, like, for whatever reason, you know that at the end of the day, she's your mom. She wouldn't want anything bad on you, right? So even if she, like, is quite stern, she's doing it out of goodwill. Same way here, that the Prophet was doing it out of goodwill. And the difference in the ways that he approached giving advice is a huge, huge story for us.
Mm-hmm.
And an immense takeaway, like, how we should approach different people and to sustain relations and contact for further community development.
Yeah, actually, on that note.
So guys, the camera died halfway through my story. But I was just narrating an incident that took place between Abu Bakr and Umar, and they had a disagreement, and Abu Bakr was in the wrong, and then he apologized to Umar, and Umar didn't accept the apology initially. Abu Bakr went to the mosque, and the Prophet found out about their disagreement, and in that time Umar came by to accept Abu Bakr's apology. And when he came in, so when Abu Bakr told the Prophet about that disagreement, the Prophet prayed for his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
May Allah forgive you. And when Umar came in, he actually criticized Umar. He's like, Abu Bakr was the one who believed in me when all of you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no right to treat him like that,
mm-hmm.
when he is apologizing to you and offering like a way to build that bridge.
Yeah.
And of course, were it not Umar, he probably wouldn't have used words that were quite as harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show that there are different ways that you give nasiha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the fact that Umar didn't fully accept the apology at first. Like, he was still quite offended. It reflects that, like, even if you go out to
give
advice...
Human.
Yeah, we're all humans. Someone's not going to take it well. They might not be receptive to you. But it's just part of the journey. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen once, twice.
And it's part of that community building.
Yeah.
Like, their bond didn't weaken because of this.
Yeah.
If anything, it probably got stronger.
Mm-hmm. And like we were mentioning with Surah Asr, like, we pray for each other's patience as well. We should have patience when it
mm-hmm.
comes to building these ties
and
working
maintaining
with each other.
Them.
And maintaining them. Like, just because once it fails doesn't mean, like, you give up,
yeah.
you know. And just to kind of wrap up, we'll bring up, like, a hadith. So this is the Prophet, but it was basically, he said, in terms of when you see something going wrong, he said, he who amongst you sees something abominable should modify it with the help of his hand, and if he has not strength enough to do it, then he should do it with his tongue, and if he has not strength enough to do it even, then he should abhor it from his heart, and that is the least of faith, or kind of like make dua for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense, we can see that if we see something wrong happening, we should always take action, and even the least of those actions is making dua. Like, because there's some places where you literally can't step in, especially like if it's like a older person, maybe out of respect, it's just not correct for you to go out of your way to tell them that what they've done is wrong.
Or if you know that you're perhaps not the right person to be delivering that message to them.
Yeah. Then at the end of the day, we can always make dua for their guidance. Or in another situation where you've tried to give advice and you've gone over and over this and it's still like, you feel like it hasn't been implemented, then once again, you can make dua for them. And I think that's such a beautiful way to also, like, you're remembering someone else in your du'as, and it's beneficial for you and that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's where we're going to kind of wrap it up. So key takeaways, I guess, from our discussion that we've come across is the importance of, first of all, community. Like, community is like the biggest word in this entire episode. How with a lack of community, it's hard to obviously grow, but giving advice, taking advice, it's impossible to do that without community.
And don't consider giving and taking advice as a test of your relationships, but rather a way to deepen them.
Because mm-hmm. like Iman was saying with Abu Bakr and Umar, they obviously did not split from each other after that. If anything, it probably deepened what they had. And if you remember at the end of the day, when you give advice, it's for the betterment of that person and for yourself, with the right intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're receiving advice, if you remember that the person is going out of their way to help you as a form of respect, then just being conscious of that,
mm-hmm.
I feel like is more than enough to like kind of appreciate your relationship
and
with them.
This is also a recurring theme, I think, in our podcast, but
mm-hmm.
your intention matters
so much. Yeah.
Because your intention when giving nasiha could be the difference between someone receiving it well and not.
Yeah.
It could be the difference between someone feeling actually touched and moved by your words or just being harmed by them.
Mm-hmm. And also like how Allah at the end of the day sees your actions. Like if your intention was to do good and it somehow turned to do bad, like you're still doing it in the name of Allah, and then vice versa, obviously. So
your actions are judged by your intention.
Yeah, pretty much. So remember, intentions are super important. And then we've like already said it, but how you go about giving advice is really important. Taking the Bedouin man and the companion as an example.
If you're ever like unsure about what to say or how to say something, I think it's Prophet Musa's du'a, the one that we started with today,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي عَمْرِي وَأَهْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So
yeah.
Recite that, and perhaps that will give you some divine guidance as to what to say.
Yeah, and always like you can seek external help as
mm-hmm.
well, without obviously naming parties or giving details
or exposing
identities. Because I think something that I realized was that a lot of the emotions that are in your head, they cloud you from making the correct decisions, even though you think you're doing the best. Like you always can like seek external help, so that's another way you can.
Well, and also like it's recommended that whenever you are seeking to make a decision or do something,
yeah.
you don't only do istikhara, you also do istishara.
Yeah.
So you are seeking out the opinion of trusted people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll wrap it up with
yeah,
that.
That's all we have for you today. We
yeah.
really hope that from this there was some benefit to you,
mm-hmm.
something to think about at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that we're surrounded by people who are guiding us or keeping us on
that path
and who are urging us to constantly do better.
Ameen.
And for Allah to not make us from amongst those who are wazin.
And for Allah to make us vessels in
vessels of khair
in guiding and becoming
actually I heard
better.
That term on Instagram and it has just stuck with me since.
Which term?
Vessels of khair.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's SubhanAllah, like may Allah always keep us in a position to be of use to the ummah,
mm-hmm.
and of benefit to the people in the community around us.
Ameen. Okay, so we'll just do this closing dua then. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqqi, wa tawasaw bil sabr. Assalamu alaikum.
Everyone.